Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma stuff for me to take, and it did absolutely nothing to help with slow healing or bring my diabetes down. My friend Patrick recommended the products found at yourdiyhealth.com here on EFR, and I have tried them. And my sugar level is down, my energy level is up, and my body is getting the natural ingredients it needs for self-healing. I am quite pleased at the results. You can contact Jim Ram at yourdiyhealth.com. That's yourdiyhealth.com. And their toll-free order number is 855-809-6864. That's 855-809-6864. I am quite happy with their products, and I'll just leave it at that. Praise Yahweh. See you later.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Ah yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. This is Pastor Steve. The show is Word for Word. And this is my 385th Word for Word show. That's not counting the reruns. That's just the new ones. We are in the Apocrypha in the book of Sirach. And we will be starting at chapter 29 today. It has been a very interesting read so far. I am quite pleased and have been enjoying myself quite a bit. A lot of wisdom in here. Very close to a lot of the sayings of Solomon in the Proverbs. And just all in all, good stuff. So let's dive right into it with chapter 29. The subsection that we start out with is on lending and borrowing. Verse 1, the merciful lend to their neighbors by holding out a helping hand, they keep the commandments. Boy, that's great. And verses 1 through 7 here, you can reference Exodus chapter 22, verse 25, and Leviticus chapter 25, verses 35 through 38. That's Exodus 22:25 and Leviticus 25:35 through 38. Verse 2. Lend to your neighbor in his time of need. Repay your neighbor when a loan falls due. In other words, deal honestly with your brethren, okay? Verse 3. Keep your promise and be honest with him, and on every occasion you will find what you need. Verse 4. Many regard a loan as a windfall and cause trouble to those who help them. Verse 5. One kisses another's hands until he gets a loan. and is deferential in speaking of his neighbor's money. But at the time for repayment, he delays and pays back with empty promises and finds fault with the time. Verse 6, if he can pay, his creditor, or he, will hardly get back half and will regard that as a windfall. If he cannot pay, the borrower has robbed the other of his money and has needlessly made him an enemy. He will repay him with curses and reproaches, and instead of glory will repay him with dishonor. Verse 7. And there's an alternative to this, which I will read. Many refuse to lend, not because of meanness, but from fear of being defrauded needlessly. And the alternative to that verse is, many refuse to lend, therefore, because of such meanness, they are afraid. So, if you borrow something from somebody, pay them back. Okay? That's what this is saying. Verse 8. Nevertheless, be patient with someone in humble circumstances, and do not keep him waiting for your alms. Verse 9. Help the poor for the commandment's sake. And in their need, do not send them away empty-handed. Verse 10. Lose your silver for the sake of a brother or a friend, and do not let it rust under a stone and be lost. Pardon me. 11. Lay up your treasure according to the commandments of the Most High, and it will profit you more than gold. Verse 12. Store up almsgiving in your treasury, and it will rescue you from every disaster. Verse 13. Better than a stout shield and a sturdy spear, it will fight for you against the enemy. Well, this is great stuff. This is the next subsection. It's on guaranteeing debts. Verse 14. A good person will be surety for his neighbor, but the one who has lost all sense of shame will fail him. Verse 15. Do not forget the kindness of your guarantor, for he has given his life for you. Verse 16. A sinner wastes the property of his guarantor, and the ungrateful, verse 16, this is verse 17. And the ungrateful person abandons his rescuer. Yeah, those were two little short verses. Verse 18. Being surety has ruined many who were prosperous and has tossed them about like waves of the sea. It has driven the influential into exile, and they have wandered among foreign nations. Verse 19. The sinner comes to grief through surety. His pursuit of gain involves him in lawsuits. Verse 20. Assist your neighbor to the best of your ability, but be careful not to fall yourself. And this is another subsection of chapter 29, Home and Hospitality. Verse 21. The necessities of life are water, bread, and clothing, and also a house to assure privacy. Verse 22. Better is the life of the poor under their own crude roof than sumptuous food in the house of others. Verse 23. Be content with little or much, and you will hear no reproach for being a guest. And you will hear no reproach from your family. And other versions lack that line. Verse 24. Pardon me. It is a miserable life to go from house to house. As a guest, you should not open your mouth. Verse 25. You will play the host and provide drink without being thanked. And besides this, you will hear rude words like these. Verse 26. Come here, stranger, prepare the table. Let me eat what you have there. Verse 27. Be off, stranger, for an honored guest is here. My brother has come for a visit, and I need the guest room. Verse 28. It is hard for a sensible person to bear scolding about lodging and the insults of the moneylender. Ooh. And the alternate verse is scolding from the household. All right, that ends chapter 29. And now we're going to get into chapter 30. And this is concerning children. And that heading is included in the Greek text. Okay. Verse 1 of chapter 30. He who loves his son will whip him often, so that he may rejoice at the way he turns out. Verse 2. He who disciplines his son will profit by him and will boast of him among acquaintances. Verse 3. He who teaches his son will make his enemies envious and will glory in him among his friends. Verse 4. When the father dies, he will not seem to be dead, for he has left behind him one like himself. Verse 5. Whom in his life he looked upon with joy, and at death without grief. Whoa! In other words, the son's going to be like the father and be an honorable man. That is something to be happy about. Verse 6. He has left behind him an avenger against his enemies, and one to repay the kindness of his friends. There's some more wisdom. Verse 7. Whoever spoils his son will bind up his wounds and will suffer heartache at every cry. Verse 8. An unbroken horse turns out stubborn, and an unchecked son turns out headstrong. Verse 9. Oh, listen to this. Pamper a child, and he will terrorize you. Play with him, and he will grieve you. Verse 10. Do not laugh with him, or you will have sorrow with him. And in the end, you will gnash your teeth. In other words, he'll turn out to be a headstrong little brat. Verse 11. Give him no freedom in his youth, and do not ignore his errors. Verse 12. Bow down his neck in his youth, and beat his sides while he is young, or else he will become stubborn and disobey you, and you will have sorrow of soul from him. Verse 13. Discipline your son and make his yoke heavy. And the Greek says take pains with him. Okay. So that you may not be offended by his shamelessness. In other words, you're gonna keep him straight right from the get-go and not let him turn out to be worthless. In other words, you can't just let them grow up on their own. You have to raise them. Okay? Verse 14. Better off poor, healthy, and fit than rich and afflicted in body. Amen on that. Verse 15, health and fitness are better than any gold, and a robust body than countless riches. Verse 16, there is no wealth better than health of body, and no gladness above joy of heart. Verse 17, death is better than a life of misery, and eternal sleep than chronic sickness. There's another subsection. This is concerning foods, and this is included in the Greek text. Verse 18. Good things poured out upon a mouth that is closed are like offerings of food placed upon a grave. Oh, verse 19. Of what use to an idol is a sacrifice? For it can neither eat nor smell. So is the one punished by Yahweh. He sees with his eyes and groans as a eunuch groans when embracing a girl. In other words, it's useless. Okay, and here is verses 21 through 25, and you can reference Ecclesiastes 11, 9 and 10. You can reference Ecclesiastes 11, 9 and 10 for 21 through 25. Pardon me, let me get a little drink of coffee here. Verse 21. Do not give yourself over to sorrow, and do not distress yourself deliberately. Verse 22. A joyful heart is life itself, and rejoicing lengthens one lifespan. Verse 23. Indulge yourself. Okay. Or beguile yourself, as some books have. Indulge yourself and take comfort, and remove sorrow far from you, for sorrow has destroyed many, and no advantage ever comes from it. Verse 24. Jealousy and anger shorten life, and anxiety brings on premature old age. Verse 25. those who are cheerful and merry at table will benefit from their food. In other words, if you come to the dinner table and you're happy and you're ready to eat and you're pleasant company, you're going to enjoy the meal and it'll be good for you. But if you come there and you're all down in the mouth and you're complaining and wah, 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 you'll probably get indigestion. All right, that ends chapter 30. Now we begin chapter 31. These are not really long chapters. Then the subsection here is the right attitude toward riches. Okay, verse 1. Wakefulness over wealth wastes away one's flesh, and anxiety about it drives away sleep. Verse 2. Wakeful anxiety prevents slumber, and a severe illness carries off sleep. Or sleep carries off a severe illness. There's two versions of that. Sleep is a healing factor, so I would tend to go with the second version of that. Sleep carries off a severe illness, because you heal when you sleep. Verse 3 of chapter 31. The rich person toils to amass a fortune, and when he rests, he fills himself with his dainties. Verse 4. The poor person toils to make a meager living, and if he ever rests, he becomes needy. Boy. Verse 5, one who loves gold will not be justified. One who pursues money will be led astray by it. And the Greek version has one who pursues destruction will be filled by it. Okay. So there's two versions of that. Chapter 31, verse 6. Many have come to ruin because of gold, and their destruction has met them face to face. Verse 7. It is a stumbling block to those who are avid for it, and every fool will be taken captive by it. Boy. That's some strong stuff. Verse 8. Blessed is the rich person who is found blameless and who does not go after gold. In other words, he got his riches honestly, okay? Verse 9. Who is he that we may praise him? For he has done wonders among his people. Verse 10. Who has been tested by it and been found perfect? Let it be for him a ground for boasting, who has had the power to transgress and did not transgress, and to do evil and did not do it. Verse 11. His prosperity will be established, and another version says because of this, and the assembly will proclaim his acts of charity. Okay, that's the assembly of Israelites when he goes to the assembly to worship Yahweh on the Sabbath. People say, look, this is a good man. He's helped a lot of people, and he's not a greedy person, you know. He doesn't worship his wealth. Here is another subsection. This is in chapter 31. It's called Table Etiquette. And I need another little drink of coffee. Verse 12. Are you seated at the table of the great? Do not be greedy at it, and do not say, how much food there is here. Don't comment on it. Don't be greedy to just stuff your face. Be nice. Be polite. Be respectful. Okay. Verse 13. Remember that a greedy eye is a bad thing. What has been created more greedy than the eye? Therefore, it sheds tears for any reason. Verse 14. Do not reach out your hand for everything you see, and do not crowd your neighbor at the dish. Boy. Verse 15. Now this is profound. Judge your neighbor's feelings by your own, and in every matter be thoughtful. In other words, your neighbor feels the same way you do. If you want people to be polite and nice to you, be polite and nice to other people. That's the basic flavor of that passage. Verse 16. Eat what is set before you like a well brought up person. And do not chew greedily, or you will give offense. In other words, have table manners, okay? Verse 17, be the first to stop as befits good manners. It shows good manners if you don't just go at the food tooth and nail, okay? And do not be insatiable, or you will give offense. Verse 18, if you are seated among many persons, do not help yourself before they do. And the Greek has reach out your hand, okay? Do not reach out your hand before they do. Verse 19, how ample a little is for a well-disciplined person. He does not breathe heavily when in bed. In other words, if you stuff yourself, you're going to go to bed, man. You're going to,
man, I'm so full. Oh.
this is just common sense stuff, and it's so eloquent. It's great. Verse 20, healthy sleep depends on moderate eating. He rises early and feels fit. The distress of sleeplessness and of nausea and colic are with the glutton. You eat so much and so fast you make yourself sick. Verse 21, if you are overstuffed with food, get up to vomit and you will have relief. Ew. Verse 22. Listen to me, my child, and do not disregard me. And in the end, you will appreciate my words. And everything you do, be moderate. And the Greek has industrious, okay? And no sickness will overtake you. I would say moderate is the better passage, okay? Verse 23, people bless the one who is liberal with food, and their testimony to his generosity is trustworthy. Verse 24, now this reflects back to when they were living in small towns, okay, in that era. The city complains of the one who is stingy with food, and their testimony to his stinginess is accurate. So it's a small area, small town, and they gossip. They talk about people. Okay. Here's another subsection of chapter 31. It's called Temperance in Drinking Wine. Oh boy. Verse 25. Do not try to prove your strength by wine drinking, for wine has destroyed many. In other words, you'll wake up with a terrible hangover. A wine drunk is a terrible thing. Verse 26. As the furnace tests the work of the smith, and in the Greek it says, test the hardening of steel by dipping. Okay. So wine tests hearts when the insolent quarrel. In other words, if you're drunk, you'll get into the argument with them. Verse 27. Wine is very life to human beings if taken in moderation. What is life to one who is without wine? It has been created to make people happy. Verse 28, wine drunk at the proper time and in moderation is rejoicing of heart and gladness of soul. Verse 29, wine drunk to excess leads to bitterness of spirit, to quarrels and stumbling. Stumble on home. Verse 30. Drunkenness increases the anger of a fool to his own hurt, reducing his strength and adding wounds. In other words, he gets drunk, thinks he's Superman, gets in a fight, and gets beat up. Verse 31. Do not reprove your neighbor at a banquet of wine, and do not despise him in his merrymaking. Speak no word of reproach to him, and do not distress him by making demands of him. In other words, if your buddy's drinking, be cool. Don't bug him, or he's going to get angry, and you're going to have a fight, even with your friend. So be very careful. Now we begin chapter 32. Etiquette at a banquet. Verse 1. Let me get a little drink of coffee again. Oh, that's good. Verse 1. If they make you master of the feast, do not exalt yourself. be among them as one of their number. Take care of them first, and then sit down. Verse 2. When you have fulfilled all your duties, take your place, so that you may be merry along with them and receive a wreath for your excellent leadership. In other words, a toastmaster at a banquet. Okay? You coordinate all the stuff that's going on. There you go. Verse 3. Speak, you who are older, for it is your right, but with accurate knowledge, and do not interrupt the music. In other words, if you got somebody playing some nice music, be polite and respectful toward the musician, and don't start talking loudly right over the top of the song when he's trying to play a nice tune. You know, a little respect goes a long way. Verse 4. Where there is entertainment, do not pour out talk. Do not display your cleverness at the wrong time. It goes along with verse 3. Verse 5. A ruby seal in a setting of gold is a concert of music at a banquet of wine. Verse 6. A seal of emerald in a rich setting of gold is the melody of music with good wine. So if you're at a banquet and you've got an entertainment and you're having a couple of drinks and everybody's happy, really nice music sets things off. It's nice. Verse 7. Speak, you who are young, if you are obliged to, but no more than twice, and only if asked. Verse 8. Be brief, say much in a few words. Be as one who knows and can still hold his tongue. Verse 9. Among the great, do not act as their equal. And when another is speaking, do not babble. Verse 10. Lightning travels ahead of the thunder, and approval goes before one who is modest. Boy, that's a good one. Verse 11. Leave in good time and do not be the last. Go home quickly and do not linger. In other words, don't make a pest of yourself and hang around. Verse 12. Amuse yourself there to your heart's content, but do not sin through proud speech. In other words, don't get drunk and run off at the mouth. Verse 13, but above all, bless your Maker who fills you with his good gifts. Mm-hmm. Praise Yahweh. Here's another subsection of chapter 32, the providence of God. The one who seeks, now they have God here. In Hebrew would be Elohim. And the Greek says, the one who fears the Lord. In the Greek, okay, that would be Yahweh. Therefore, this God here with a capital G would probably be Yahweh. The one who seeks Yahweh will accept his discipline. Okay. All of these texts have been anglicized, okay, for the English language. And you really have to do some study to get the accurate saying. The one who seeks Yahweh will accept his discipline, and those who rise early to seek him will find favor. Verse 15. The one who seeks the law will be filled with it, but the hypocrite will stumble at it. Mm-hmm. Verse 16. Those who fear Yahweh will form true judgments, and they will kindle righteous deeds like a light. Verse 17. The sinner will shun reproof and will find a decision according to his liking. In other words, if he doesn't like what he hears about what he's done, he'll find somebody that'll glad hand him and tell him what he wants to hear. Verse 18. A sensible person will not overlook a thoughtful suggestion. An insolent and proud person will not be deterred by fear. Boy. An I is the note. And in the Greek it says alien. So that would be an alien and proud person will not be deterred by fear. Verse 19. Do nothing without deliberation. In other words, think things over first. But when you have acted, do not regret it. Okay, make wise decisions and then act. Don't just rush off. He's advising caution in your deeds here. Verse 20. Do not go on a path full of hazards and do not stumble at an obstacle twice. And the Greek has stumble on stony ground. Okay. Verse 21. Do not be overconfident on a smooth road or an unexplored road. In other words, a road that's strange to you because you don't know what's there. Verse 22. And give good heed to your paths. And the Greek has, and beware of your children. Verse 23. Guard yourself in every act. And Greek has, trust yourself in every act. For this is the keeping of the commandments. And so I would go with the Hebrew, guard yourself. Okay. Verse 24. The one who keeps the law preserves himself. Okay. And the Greek has, the one who believes the law heeds the commandments. And the one who trusts Yahweh will not suffer loss. So that ends chapter 32, but this subsection continues on in chapter 33, which we will begin now. Chapter 33. No evil will befall the one who fears Yahweh, but in trials such a one will be rescued again and again. Verse 2. The wise will not hate the law, but the one who is hypocritical about it is like a boat in a storm. Verse 3, and you can reference Exodus 28:30 and Sirach 45:10. The sensible person will trust in the law. For such a one, the law is as dependable as a divine oracle. Of course. Verse 4, prepare what to say, and then you will be listened to. Draw upon your training and give your answer. Verse 5 of chapter 33, the heart of a fool is like a cartwheel, and his thoughts like a turning axle. It goes round and round and round and round. Verse 6, a mocking friend is like a stallion that neighs no matter who the rider is. All right. Now they have another subsection, differences in nature and in mankind. Okay. Adam kind, actually. Verse 7. Why is one day more important than another when all the daylight in the year is from the sun? Verse 8. By Yahweh's wisdom they were distinguished, and he appoints the different seasons and festivals. Verse 9. Some days he exalted and hallowed, and some he made ordinary days. And this is verse 10, and it has a note at the bottom. This should be Adam. Okay, that's the Hebrew. All Adam come from the ground. Of course. That's what Adam comes from, the Adama, okay, the red soil. All Adam comes from the ground, and Adam kind was created from the dust. That's scriptural right there. Verse 11. In the fullness of his knowledge, Yahweh distinguished them and appointed their different ways. Verse 12. Some he blessed and exalted, and some he made holy and brought near to himself. But some he cursed and brought low and turned them out of their place. Verse 13. Like clay in the hand of the potter to be molded as he pleases, so are all in the hand of their maker, to be given whatever he decides. Verse 14. Good is the opposite of evil, and life the opposite of death. So the sinner is the opposite of the godly. Verse 15. Look at all the works of the Most High. They come in pairs, one the opposite of the other. Verse 16. Now I was the last to keep vigil, I was like a gleaner following the grape pickers. Verse 17. By the blessings of Yahweh, I arrived first, and like a grape picker, I filled my wine press. Verse 18. Consider that I have not labored for myself alone, but for all who seek instruction. Verse 19. Hear me, you who are great among the people, and you leaders of the congregation, pay heed. All right, now we come to another subsection. The advantage of independence. Okay. Verse 20. To son or wife, to brother or friend, do not give power over yourself as long as you live. And do not give your property to another in case you change your mind and must ask for it. Verse 21. While you are still alive and have breath in you, do not let anyone take your place. Verse 22. For it is better that your children should ask from you than that you should look to the hand of your children. Verse 23. Excel in all that you do. Bring no stain upon your honor. Verse 24 of chapter 33. At the time when you end the days of your life, in the hour of death, distribute your inheritance. In other words, if you're the head of the family, be the head of the family until the day that you die. Here's another subsection. The treatment of slaves. Verse 25. Fodder and a stick and burdens for a donkey. Bread and discipline and work for a slave. And verses 26 through 31, you can reference Proverbs 29:19. That's Proverbs 29:19. Verse 26. Set your slave to work and you will find rest. Leave his hands idle and he will seek liberty. Verse 27. Yoke and thong will bow the neck, and for a wicked slave there are racks and tortures. Verse 28. Put him to work in order that he may not be idle. Verse 29. For idleness teaches much evil. Verse 30. Set him to work as is fitting for him, and if he does not obey, make his fetters heavy. Do not be overbearing toward anyone, and do nothing unjust. Verse 31. If you have but one slave, treat him like yourself, because you have bought him with blood. If you have but one slave, treat him like a brother, for you will need him as you need your life. Verse 32. If you ill treat him and he leaves you and runs away, verse 33, which way will you go to seek him? And that ends chapter 33. Now, I do not have time to do chapter 34. I will have to get that on the next show. So that ends all of that. This has been a very instructive reading. I really enjoy this book of Sirach. The sayings in here are very very productive. And I have enjoyed this reading. I hope that you have been enjoying it also. So I'm going to play a little music and then the outro song, and I'll catch you again on Wednesday. And may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward
Pastor Steve, you are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us. And may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.